Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Thank you for joining. Welcome to the Entertainment One interim results for the 6 months ending September 30th, 2018. I'm Darren Troop, the CEO, and I'm going to give you a business review. And then I'm going to pass it over to Joe Sparacio, who will go through the numbers with you. So we've had a very busy first half, very good first half. Revenue was broadly flat, but we experienced 10% growth in EBITDA and 160 basis points increase in our margins. So the business is transitioning nicely to high quality content sold through various channels, but we're seeing very strong margin growth coming through the business. Family and brands, 29%. Both EBITDA and revenue growth, half year on half year. Digital platforms are really taking a lot of that content, so SVOD platforms, and I'll talk about that a little later. Film and television revenue mix is happening just pretty much exactly the way we anticipated. You've seen revenue slightly down in EBITDA, really reflecting the film business. Far fewer releases in the first half compared to the same period in the first half last year. When we look at the second half, we've got a lot of momentum on film and television from a title-specific standpoint, and I'll get into that. The acquisition of Sierra Affinity and WizKids in the first half of the year significantly augmented our management team and our creative powers as an organization, so we're happy to get that done. Integration is on track to deliver 13 to 15 million pounds of savings by 2020. Library value went up again, 1.7, now plays 2 billion. So that just really demonstrates the content that we are investing in has long-term, high-quality value. And full-year performance is expected to be on management expectations as usual. Just wanted to remind everybody of this slide. This is probably my favorite slide. It really does speak to what we do as an organization. We do a lot, but really at the center of what we do is high-quality content. And from that high-quality content idea, that idea that's generated, we can then help develop it, produce it, and indeed monetize it at the highest level. And we touch all aspects of the content industry. Of course, you know we've got a family and a television, a film, a music, digital businesses, but we also have live touring businesses, licensing. We do our own productions, sync, publishing, everything. So we touch the entire ecosystem, and we do all of that in-house. So really, that big blue box in the center is what we're focused on, high quality IP ideas that we can then help develop and monetize at the most effective level. I want to talk first about family and brands. There's a picture of Cupcake and Dino, which is a brand that we launched on Netflix globally in the first half of the year. It's doing very well. Very strong continued growth across our family and brands business. Peppa Pig continues to broaden its revenue base. Revenues increased to 44 million from 35.4 million, mostly due to AVOD and SVOD deals. So we're selling a lot of Peppa Pig episodes to SVOD service providers globally. These platforms are all over, and they're really after high-quality children's programming. And obviously, Peppa is one of the most loved brands in the world. China in the first half of the year was a big driver of our growth. That market continues to develop. We've got 74 license agreements in place. We did a lot of SVOD deals there with Tencent, Youku, Mango. So really strong growth there. And it's also still doing very well in mature markets like the UK and the US. The new content that we continue to add to the pipeline significantly increased the exposure and visibility of the brand. PJ Masks, global rollout continues. Fair to say that that is also a global hit. We rolled out some toys in the first half in China. We're going to do a full rollout in the back half of the year. Revenues increased almost to 30 million from 21 million in the first half of last year. So huge growth for PJ. It's the fastest growing LM brand both in the US and the UK right now. The performance indicators are great, and it has been launched on all the major platforms in China as well. Ricky Zoom is set to launch in 2019 in January. It'll roll out around the world through FY19, and in the back half of the year, next year, we will start a licensing merchandising program on that brand as well. and lots of new product coming through the pipeline. A couple of big points, 1.4 billion views for PJ Masks in China on SVOD. It's a big, big number for as long as it's been there, and over 1,600 licenses, and we were at 1,300 last year at this time. Outlook for family and brands. I mean, the driver for us this year really is China. We see China as a big opportunity. There's new content of Peppa being continued to be delivered. There's another 117 episodes in production. If we look at China as a market itself, we've really got a full complement of products in the market with our toy product, our partner Alpha. And next year, happily, it's the year of the pig in China. So on February 5th, with our partners at Alibaba, we're going to be launching the Peppa Pig movie. It's got some Chinese live action in it and some Peppa Pig episodes. So, you know, we're looking for big things. It's also the 15th anniversary of Peppa Pig. So there's parties and events planned all over the world to celebrate Peppa's 15 years in existence. We're really pushing hard on experiential. Our deal with Merlin, for instance, where they're opening theme parks. We've got the Peppa Pig show. We've got the PJ Masks show, which is actually managed through our live division, through in our music division. So we're seeing a lot of continued engagement for that. L&M continues to grow, and we're going to go wide in China in the back half of this year with PJ Masks. Those YouTube views, or those SVOD views that we talked about, are having a big, big impact in the marketplace. And of course, Ricky Zoom has been launched to broadcast. There's also 8 new brands in development. Ninja Express is probably the next one that you're going to see, but the team continues to find new creative ideas and iterate and develop those ideas and then bring them to market. And as I've said before, there's quite a long period of time. Sometimes it takes to develop these brands, but it's nice to see you've got Peppa, followed by momentum of PJ, followed by momentum of Ricky Zoom, and then other brands coming through the pipeline as well. Long-term drivers of growth for family and brands that, you know, the market is moving towards SVOD, and not only in television, but also in scripted television, but also in preschool brands. And we're seeing that big, big desire for SVOD platforms to get family content onto their platforms because they know it holds audience. This is a big opportunity for us. We don't, you know, what we look for is as much engagement as we can get. So we've got linear broadcasters now, we've got SVOD platforms, and we've got things like YouTube as well. You put that all together and it just means more awareness, more visibility for our brands in front of our core audience, which of course are little people and families. Really critical to have that huge brand awareness when you're talking to online retail platforms like an Amazon. They want to know that there's an awareness in the marketplace, so then when they put our products on their marketplaces, they get good sell-through. Key drivers for our family and brands business, you know, premium content. Quality holds true in preschool properties just as well as it does in scripted dramas. And we're very, very focused on making sure that the writing, the animation, the story itself is as high quality as it can possibly be. China is really emerging as a top-tier market and could rival the U.S. There's difficult to find a KPI for China. Huge marketplace, exploding middle class, big opportunity in China. Very strong pipeline, as I talked about before, and we're really pushing on diversifying our revenue base. Once we get that brand awareness, we want to push that brand as hard as we can through experiential, all kinds of different awareness opportunities that we have. Moving to film and television, in the first half, progress was solid. We continue to transition our film business, as we've said many, many times before. You'll see revenue was down, EBITDA was down. That really reflects the decrease in number of films that we released year on year. Last year we released 48 in the time frame, and this year we released 35, so significantly down. Big releases for us this year, which we did well on House with a Clock in Its Wall through our Amblin relationship, and I Feel Pretty are a couple of titles that did quite well for us. The big difference in our film business this year is the dramatic drop in transactional revenues. This isn't exclusive to E1. This is an industry thing where DVD is becoming a much smaller portion of the ultimate revenue that we're getting through a feature film. Which is what we've expected, and is a big part of the reason that we're moving our business away from a distribution model to more of a production model, where we're going to own more of those titles and participate in global rights. On the TV side, and on the broadcast and SVO licensing side, you're seeing exactly what we anticipated as well, where you're seeing strong growth. So SVOD has an insatiable demand for new content, high quality content, both newly produced and library content. We've seen strong growth with revenue up 20% in the SVOD window. Production and other revenue reduced 26%. Really just a tough H1 comparable. You'd seen strong production deliveries in the prior period, with like Atomic Blonde, Lost City of Z. Last year also we've seen things like Sharp Objects, etc. So just a tough comparable. Music continues to grow nicely for us. Actually, Chris is in the room today, so it's nice to see Chris here. Revenue's up 19% year on year, really speaking to the transition from physical to digital, and that most of that growth came through from digital. Chris and his team released 37 albums in the first half compared to 40 last year. And we're really seeing strong performance from his artist management, including an artist called Jax Jones, which is who's from the UK here, and the Arkells, etc. Television and film outlook. We got a really, you know, strong slate coming in the back half, both for film and TV. Fewer releases again. In the back half, we're guiding down to about 120 from what we'd said before was 140. But we've got some great titles in the back half on film. Green Book, If Beale Street Could Talk, Stan and Ollie, which is a title that we produced here in the UK. There was one other one I wanted to tell you about. Vice, which is the Dick Cheney story, which is hilarious. We've got new production titles, which include Queen and Slim, which is from Make Ready, our Brad Weston partnership. And we got Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which is a Guillermo del Toro produced title, which is wrapped up production in Toronto, which we'll be releasing next year. Television slate looks as strong as ever. We're on target to deliver over 1,000 hours of both acquired and produced content. Really big key scripted shows for us, obviously Designated Survivor Season 3, which is now a Netflix global show. We've got The Rookie Season 1, we've got Burden of Truth Season 2, Private Eye Season 3, Cardinal Season 3, or Ransom Season 3, sorry. So very strong performance there. Unscripted really took off again for us this year. We're seeing demand from traditional broadcasters, but we're also seeing demand from SVOD platforms for unscripted shows. You've got X on the Beach, Siesta Keys, Naked and Afraid continues to win ratings as well. And, you know, since in the last half of last year, we did the Mark Gordon acquisition. We brought Mark on as the chief content officer. And since that time, he's been doing exactly what we expected him to do. He's been developing and finding new high-quality IP for us to produce. We've got 60 high-end shows set up with various platforms and television stations around the world. That's a big, big pipeline of high-quality shows. So I'm happy to say that relationship, and Mark's doing a great job for us there with his team. I think that's it for that outlook. Further music activities continue to expand. We've got H2 new albums from the Arkells. We've got Royce da 5'9" and the Wu-Tang Clan. Really diversifying the revenue base in music. Music is part of that, you know, creative tissue that ties E1 together. We're touring the live Peppa Pig or PJ Masks show through the live division that is part of the music group. We're doing a lot more sync, a lot more masters, a lot more interaction between music and the rest of the groups itself. We've also got new live tours, the Nelson Mandela exhibit, and of course the PJ Masks tour that I talked about before. We talked about the annualized cost savings. That's well on track for FY20. An investment in content is moderated for the current year. Part of that is just the reduction of the film business. We're going down from 100, which we forecast before, to 90 million pounds. You'll see that continue, and you're going to see investment in content go down and investment in production continue to go up. There's always timing things, and you've seen some of that in the first half of the year. But that's a trend that's going to continue as we're making that happen. Long-term drivers, on the right slide. Now the industry continues to develop and change at a breakneck pace for sure. I can tell you that the opportunity is as big as it's ever been if you're in the content business. We're purely in the content business and really no others. You know, if you see what's happening with Disney, Hulu announced last week that they're going to take their platform globally instead of just North America. Apple still has started to spend a lot of money on shows, and we've set some shows up with them. But they still haven't even announced what their platform is going to look like. You've got Snapchat, which Make Ready did a show for. You've got, of course, Amazon and Netflix and Time Warner, the Disney new platform. So there's so much opportunity in the marketplace right now. And from an outlook standpoint, I think we need to continue to do what we're doing as a company, which is really double down on high quality content and high quality creative relationships and really become that home for, you know, the best creative minds in the world. You know, the investment's going to continue to go up in the marketplace. Our drivers from an E1 standpoint are our relationships with creators. We're very targeting our investments to where we think we get the best return, thus kind of a transition from a pure distribution model in film to more of a production model in film. We really are spending a lot of money on development and early stage ideas, so optioning books, you know, helping writers get their ideas to screen, doing first look deals, all kinds of deals. So we're continuing to do the same things that we've said we're doing for many, many years. You know, we got one sales team that we consolidated a few years ago, runs here out of the London office, which is really maximizing our opportunity in those SVOD windows and those linear windows that we talked about before, where we've seen 20% growth. So that was a good result for the company. And we're going to really leverage our scale. And by, you know, pushing for targeted cost savings and continue to migrate that model to a higher margin business. And you've seen the basis points increase in the first half. You're going to continue to see that as we move this business forward and we transition to higher margin businesses. One thing I wanted to touch on before I pass it on to Joe is the independent library valuation. It's up again this year to $2 billion. Again, as what I said at the beginning, it really does kind of exemplify this fact that the creative materials and properties that we're bringing to the market do have long-term value for the company and for its shareholders. So it's good to see that grow, and I would expect it to grow again in the next coming year. And again, that library valuation is till the end of March. Our last fiscal year. It has nothing to do with what we've created or produced or delivered in this fiscal year, and you won't see that until September of next year. With that, I'll pass it over to Joe Sparacio, our CFO. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Darren. Good morning, everybody. As Darren mentioned, we continue to improve margins due to mix, strong growth in the high-margin family business, SVOD, as well as cost savings in film and TV of $2 million have contributed to an improved margin. This has been offset by lower revenues in the theatrical and transactional business, as Darren alluded to earlier. The results for the first half in film and TV have also been impacted by timing, and Darren mentioned that we anticipate the back end of the year to be strong. At the end of the day, margins were up 160 basis points, and that resulted in EBITDA growth of 10% for the group. Free cash outflow is up by roughly 21 million pounds. A lot of that has to do with increases in working capital, which are timing differences. A lot of that change is due to the significant amount of SVOD deals that we've been executing in the marketplace, where you have payment terms that will stretch out past the point of revenue recognition. So an example, we did a number of deals in China towards the end of the half year. We delivered those materials, we recognized that revenue, but the payment stream is after the half year. So in that particular case, we'll liquidate 80% of that receivable by the end of the fiscal year. So you're seeing a heightened level of working capital, but it's being triggered by changes in the business. Net debt is increased again. Part of that, a big chunk of that, was the completion of the Mark Gordon deal, which we did in the early part of this calendar year. That was about 74 million pounds. Again, the remainder is the change in the working capital profile. Darren also mentioned the increase in the library value from 1.7 billion to 2 billion. At this point, I just want to mention, you know, we talk about the half year and the cadence of earnings. You know, we've kind of given a goalpost of 25 to 30% in the half year, the first part of the year, and then the remainder in the back end. And for this half year, we kind of landed towards the upper end. A lot of that had to do with some SBOD deals that we were able to pull forward that were originally targeted for the back end. So, you know, in terms of the weighting of the earnings from the company, we are certainly consistent with where we've been in the past. In terms of the individual line items on a revenue basis, you know, family and brands experienced 29% growth year on year. Peppa Pig was 18% year on year, and PJ Masks 44% year on year. So our two top brands continue to perform very, very well in the marketplace. Retail, gross retail sales increased from $1.2 billion to $1.3 billion during the period. And as Darren mentioned earlier, you know, we have a broad rollout in China in the back end of the year. So, you know, we're cautiously optimistic about that. In the film and TV area, you know, as Darren mentioned earlier, H2 is loaded in terms of deliveries, releases, and operating performance as well. In the theatrical area, a lower number of releases contributed to the year-on-year decline. As Darren mentioned earlier, we released 35 films this half year versus 48 last year. Transactional is down 45%. And that's very consistent with the messaging that Steve Bertram, the head of our film group on the commercial side, mentioned at our Capital Markets Day in September. And it's also very consistent with what we had mentioned in our trading statement at the end of September. At that point, we had also disclosed that we anticipated write-down of certain assets as it related to the home entertainment business of about 64 million pounds. We've revised that estimate down in the actual half-year numbers to 57 million. 4 million in cash costs remains the same. The reason for the change or the revision is just a different look subsequent to September 30th than what we had at that point. As Darren mentioned earlier, strong broadcast and licensing revenue up 20%, a lot of that SVOD related. Music is up 19% as well. So a lot of the pieces within even the film and TV division continue to perform at high levels. In terms of revenue and EBITDA levels, currency really wasn't an issue for the half year, so it's had nominal impact on the company's operations. It's a snapshot of EBITDA. Again, in family and brands, you're up 29% in revenues and 29% in EBITDA. And you could see at the bottom, the margin increased 160 basis points from 13.2% to 14.8%. As I mentioned, currency had very little to do year on year, and this half year was we received the benefit of 2 million pounds from cost savings. In terms of cash flow, free cash outflow, if you will, is at 88.1 million, which is up versus the prior year of 66.1. A lot of that sits in the working capital line, and that's just due to the number of SVOD deals that we've had during the period, as well as other timing differences. I think the important point here is the company continues to reiterate targeted net leverage at the end of the year at 1.8 times. So this is a timing difference. Net debt, typically at this time of the year, our debt levels are at their highest. And then we begin to liquidate down right after, right at the beginning of the new calendar year. So this is not uncommon for us. As I mentioned, earlier, a big reason for the year-on-year increase was the Mark Gordon transaction, which was completed in the second half of last fiscal year. One of the items that I'll mention is in the corporate section of our announcement this morning, we've indicated that, you know, the first call on our senior notes is coming up in the middle of December. That's something that the company is certainly evaluating. And if the market is right, we may do something in that regard. But it's something we're considering. If and when it happens, we will certainly provide additional disclosure. If we were to complete a transaction like that, a refinancing, we would probably have an enhanced leverage ratio at the end of the year. But, you know, we anticipate it would be under 2x for sure. So not a big movement. And a lot of that growth is because of the costs and expenses of doing a refinancing. In terms of outlook for the year, there's been some tweaks, as Darren mentioned, to the capital spend estimated in the various parts of our business. The one item that I'll focus you on, you'll see number of unique theatrical titles expected to go down from 80 in our initial guidance down to 60. Again, that's in keeping with the company's strategy to be very, very targeted in terms of where we place our bets in the film space. You'll also notice down below an estimate of one-off items of 65 million pounds. Through the half year, we incurred 59.4. And we put a placeholder in for the back end of the year. We could come in lower than that because we're still going through the integration process with film and TV. So there may be some additional severance, et cetera. So in summary, you know, the half year, we continue to have robust EBITDA performance. Family and Brands continues to perform very strongly, driven by multiple revenue streams, growth in the digital platforms and experiential revenues developing. Ricky Zoom targeted for initial broadcast in the spring, summer of 2019. In film and television, we're experiencing revenue mix as the industry evolves. The film slate continues to transition as planned as home entertainment declines. The film and TV business is balanced by strong growth in the SVOD platforms as well as TV broadcast sales. And we continue to have strong growth in our music division as well. Again, as I mentioned earlier and Darren mentioned in his remarks, you know, we have a very robust development pipeline in film and TV to drive future growth. And some of that you'll see coming through in the half, in the back end of the year. As Darren mentioned, we're still on track to deliver 13 to 15 million pounds of cost savings by the end of fiscal 20. The independent valuation of our library is up again this past year from 1.7 billion to 2 billion. And, you know, our financial performance is on track and in line with our original expectations. There's been no change in that. And with that, I will turn it over for questions.
Thanks. It's, excuse me, Ian Whittaker from Liberum. Three questions, please. First of all, you said in terms of the EBITDA margin, you would expect that to continue to rise. So are there any sort of levels of EBITDA that you'd expect, that you'd be willing to share with us, that you expect the business to get to medium term in terms of your thinking? The second thing is just in terms of the fewer films. So obviously, sort of you were taking a more targeted approach. I guess the flip side of that could be that therefore sort of it could increase the risk in terms of the portfolio effect. Sort of just wondering how you mitigate that risk moving forward with regard to your business. And I guess the third thing is just a sort of bigger sort of picture question. When you look at your business at the moment, sort of what areas do you think there are gaps in which you'd like to fill, which realistically you could fill, and whether you have the balance sheet flexibility to do so.
Okay. So on the margin growth, you're seeing a shift in the business itself. So part of that is cost. You've seen 13 to 15 million pounds of savings by FY20. So obviously that's going to, you know, if you've got the same run rate, that's going to enhance your margins. But the other thing you're seeing is a shift in the mix of the business itself. So the SVOD sales are higher margin, lower revenue, but higher margin business. And there's a bigger contribution from the family business, which again is low revenue, but very, very high margin. So we're not giving any guidance on where that margin is going to end up, but we do expect to continue to grow. On the second question on film, on the transition of film business, we apply the same risk profile to the production of a film as we did to the acquisition of a film. And by that I mean we will look at a budget and say the budget is $10 for a film. We'll look at our own territories and look to our own creative teams to make sure that it's a film that we think that will do well in a marketplace such as the UK, like Stan and Ollie. We will make a contribution to the budget of that for that specific film, and then the rest of the territories, the rest of the world indeed, will sell through our international sales organization, which was, until we just brought them full stop into the team, the Sierra business that we completed about 6 months ago. So we apply the exact same risk profile, and indeed we don't take flyers on things that says, well, it's $10, I think it's going to be good, so let's spend the $10 and then find out. What we'll do is we'll pre-sell a large portion of the world, excluding our territories, to bring down that $10 risk to something that is palatable the same way that we did on film distribution. So the risk profile is exactly the same, and I don't want the inferences that we're getting, you know, crazy risky here, because we're not. The last part about holes or places to augment the business, you know, we've really worked hard on bringing in a management team, both on the family and brand side and the film, television, and music side of things. And I think we're properly geared. We've got a great management team. We've got tons of, you know, creative relationships. I think what we could do and what we will continue to do is make more of those high quality relationships as an organization. But really what we need to do is, there's a tremendous opportunity in front of us. Based on, you know, just the demand and the new platforms and the new channels and the new delivery, the new consumer behavior, we just need to execute. We need to continue to execute. Our balance sheet's in good shape. Joe went through the 1.8 times leverage. I mean, you know, it'll come down. We said we'll push it down again next year. The balance sheet's in good shape, and most days our equity's in pretty good shape too. So I mean, we're in a good spot from a business standpoint, and strategically we're very, very well placed in a rapidly growing industry. Bridie.
Thank you. It's Bridie from Stiefel. Is that working? So just on family, a few questions, if I might. Nearly 30% growth in the first half of the year, and it seems that you're quite positive about the impact of Asia and China in H2. Do you think you can keep up that pace in the second half? Also, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing kind of roughly the split in family between TV rights, licensing, and royalties, really just to kind of get a sense of the potential cyclicality in that business from the royalty side of things. And then finally, on the SVOD deals that you're doing more generally across the group, which I suppose comes through licensing and FTD now, can you give a sense of what share comes from SVOD? Reason being, I just think it would help us understand the working capital movements a bit better if we understand the nature of that, the size of that business.
I mean, I would say on the disclosure point regarding SVOD versus broadcast, that's a discussion we need to have internally. It's not disclosed today. And we need to talk about that, because there may be some competitive reasons why we don't want to disclose that. So let us take that away and we'll get back to you. And it's the same thing in terms of licensing in the family group versus SVOD. The only thing I will say as an indicator is that licensing continues to be more than 50% of the revenue stream in that business.
Yeah, and the performance in the first half of 29% revenue and EBITDA growth, a bit of an anomaly because of the SVOD transactions that happened late in the first half. So a big spike in both revenue and in EBITDA simply because you actually deliver and book all of that. It does have that negative impact on working capital because you don't get paid for it yet. But so that's why you've seen such a big spike. We've been pretty consistent. We like to see 10-15% growth is what we continue to forecast. So we would expect the family business to normalize over the back half of the year, more to a consistent growth rate. However, we'd love to be surprised on the upside as well.
Thanks. It's Tom here from Citigroup on behalf of Catherine. First one, on that SVOD point, I mean, you made the point that you're trying to make content available over YouTube and other free platforms, yet you're also monetizing it via SVOD. I'm just wondering, is there any, you know, extent to which that SVOD might prove untenable if you are, as say, making content available across other platforms for free? That was the first question. The second one was on just be specific. You said obviously there's growth in experiential and live events on the family and brand side, but you said some of that's coming through the live events part of
the music.
Does that mean that you're recognizing growth in both areas and there's an elimination? So I just wanted to get to the bottom of that. And then very finally on music, obviously you're doing a lot in terms of sort of 360 degree deals with artist management, etc. But pure recorded music beyond the release schedule, are you seeing any change in the sort of economics of recorded music? Are you having to give more of the economics to artists?
Okay. On the first question on SVOD, YouTube, well, YouTube is some of its UGC content, so the customers are, our customers are actually uploading the content to YouTube themselves. But YouTube is not free. It's really an AVOD supported mechanism. So we do get revenue from YouTube as well. For us, and, you know, so SVOD wants to capture their customer and get a subscription fee on a monthly basis. AVOD provides it free to the consumer, yet they're paying with their time to watch ads. For us, it's really about engagement. So if we can have a world where there's a strong linear platform like a Disney or a Nickelodeon tied to a very strong SVOD second window, perhaps, where, you know, they've had first run at Disney or Nickelodeon, and then we put it on SVOD for second window, and the added engagement of a YouTube, that's the best of all worlds as far as we're concerned. So that's been a big change in the industry. The second question was, sorry?
The elimination, music, live
events. Yeah, you can talk to eliminations.
So the way that will be split is the music group would get credit for the actual management of the shows. So they take their normal management fee, and then there's a royalty paid to the family group for their share of the earnings. That's kind of how the, you know, it's kind of follows the economics of the deal.
And on the last question about recorded music and change in economics, I mean, there has been a significant rebound in music, in the music business, largely, again, subject to these subscription services, Spotify being the biggest one and others coming on strong as well. The music team really approaches music as that 360 model that you talked about, where they're are touching many, many different aspects of the business, which is where we think the big growth opportunity is. So let's not just be specific on recorded artists, and you can see we released almost 40 new albums in the first half, but also how else can we enhance their careers through management, through sync opportunities, through publishing, and indeed live touring and events. Development of the business. Steve.
Hi, it's Steve Lishti from Numis. Sorry to go on about SVOD and family and stuff. I'm almost quite surprised that you say it's only around 50%. I know you said over 50%, but that implies it's close to 50 than higher. I would have thought the L&M side would be massively more than that. Maybe I'm wrong, given the SVOD deals
don't,
and AVOD deals we're talking
about. Don't infer anything, Steve. As I said, we're not disclosing the number at this point.
Okay. So would it be fair to say that the SVOD... has been the supercharger? I know you said about timing and stuff, but is it true in family that the SVOD has been the thing that's really taken that growth to almost above what we would expect in the midterm?
No, I mean, it's again, I go back to the engagement point. SVOD is a low revenue, high margin business. License and merchandising is a higher revenue, lower margin business. So they all contribute different parts of that, you know, 29 and 29% growth. So SVOD was exceptional in the back part of the year because of the deals that we signed, but that will normalize over the next period and the period after that. So don't look for anything, you know, that will normalize. But what that does do is it gives us great engagement within those territories that then in the subsequent timeframes drives license and merchandising revenues. So it's, you know, it's just part of the puzzle, and it's just that it happened close to the end of the year. And, you know, when you see that 29% growth, we want to explain to you what happened. And it wasn't L&M that just went off the charts. It was because there were specifically some SVOD deals in there that really drove the underlying earnings in that period. But really what we're looking for now is that engagement that we're going to get through those deals to drive the L&M revenues in half two and, of course, in FY20.
Great, thank you. And then on the L&M, specifically China, there. So just to confirm, you're confident you're now going to get real money out of L&M in China, and you're now putting out there you think the China L&M market can be as big as the US?
Yes.
Wow, good, thank you.
Yeah.
And then last one. I'll hold you
you
to
got
that.
Me, Steve.
I'll hold you to that.
God, I hope I'm right.
Last one, just on film and TV.
Yeah.
Can you just give a quick update on The Rookie?
Yes.
And also, any comments on Amblin? Because it sort of feels like Amblin's been a bit slower than we would have hoped.
Yeah, on The Rookie, highest rated show in 7 years, I think, on ABC on that Tuesday night time slot. So launched very well. The plus threes, plus sevens came in very strong. You know, so strong indeed that the network ordered another seven episodes off the back of the first two or three, which is good news for us. So that's going a full 20 episodes, which is great. Amblin is busy. Development, production, we did get House with the Clock in its walls from them in the first half. The Amblin relationship brings us not only Steven Spielberg and his team, but also Participant Media, because they're a big partner in the Amblin partnership. Green Book is a participant title that is getting awards buzzed. I seen it last week, it's fantastic. So I can happily say that there's a number of titles in later stages of packaging getting ready for production that are going to be coming through our Amblin relationship. Okay, well, I want to thank you all for coming. We'll see you in May. Thanks.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.